Right, our next speaker is Bethany Wexler. Did I pronounce it right? Sorry if I didn't. Who is a doctoral candidate at UCLA School of Public Health in the Department of Community Health Sciences. She works with Dr. Don Upchurch, who is also at UCLA School of Public Health and who works on CAM research. Please join me in welcoming Bethany.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy Halloween. Hope we're all excited afterwards to do something Halloween-y. I just wanted to say that it's really nice to see some familiar faces. I know I saw Beth earlier, and Kimmy came by my poster, so it's a nice, happy family, the CAM family. So unfortunately, Dawn isn't here today, but she was really the motivator behind my work in looking at CAM. Dawn has a lot of history doing CAM research, and as some of the people who came by my poster earlier, we were really discussing about how there's very limited data, especially nationally representative data. So while the NHIS has been really kind of beaten to a pulp with why, you know, what we're looking at with CAM, I tried to take a different approach and really look at the ad health data, which I'll talk about in a moment. So Don and I have no relationships to disclose. And here's a brief overview of what I'll be talking about. So the motivation for the study is based on a number of things. First, the prevalence of use of CAM within the United States is fairly high, with recent reports showing that about 40% of adults age 18 and older use some form of CAM therapy in the past 12 months. So I guess that depends on who you ask if that's considered high or not. But while recent publications have assessed CAM profiles among specific populations, such as women and those over the age of 65, few studies have actually focused on CAM use among younger adults. Now, young adults, known as emerging adults, tend to be defined as in a period of instability, but they also have a sense of self-focus. Yet, young adults appear also as early adopters, and they generally partake in a lot of social media sites and the newest technological devices on a yearly basis. So we thought perhaps some young adults are actually more open to trying alternative techniques of healthcare like CAM therapies. Now, previous literature on personality and CAM use has begun to surface within the past few years. Smith and colleagues have shown that of the big five personality traits, openness to experience was a strong predictor of CAM use among undergrad students. Saris and colleagues found among a sample of middle-aged and older women that openness was also significantly correlated to CAM use, and Honda and Jacobson found among adults aged 25 and older that extroversion was also associated with CAM use. So our study examines CAM use among a nationally representative sample of young adults and assesses whether such use is affected by individual personality types. So our study has two hypotheses. The first is to determine profiles of CAM use among young adults, and the second is to assess whether personality in adolescence affects CAM use in young adulthood. So we used restricted data from waves 1 and 3 of the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, which is also known as AdHealth. And the first wave was collected from 1995 to 1996. And the third wave was collected 6 years later, from 2001 to 2002. Now, AdHealth used stratified random sampling to collect detailed environmental and health-related behavior information from adolescents. However, only in the third wave did they actually ask them CAM-related questions. So our analysis focuses specifically on young adults at wave 3 who have complete personality information in the first wave when they were adolescents, and then CAM information in the third wave when they're young adults. Right, so it's kind of over time, adolescence to young adulthood. Our final sample used in the study included 7,322 young adults. Now, our measures of personality during adolescence are based on those found in Young and Bujine's recent article. They wrote an article on personality in Wave 1 of AdHealth. And they report that there were actually three reliable measures of personality. And these were based on the International Personality Item Pool. So I begin here with neuroticism. Now, neuroticism characteristics are related to anxiety, emotional lability versus being placid, and emotionally stable. So Jung and Bajin report 6 items from the personality item pool that matched well with those found in wave 1 of bad health. So they're listed here on the table. You have a lot of good qualities, you have a lot to be proud of, you feel socially accepted, so on and so forth. Each of these items is scored on a 5-point scale, from 1 strongly agree to 5 strongly disagree. So the index of neuroticism that we used is actually a sum of these 6 items. The range of the index was from 6 to 10, and higher scores indicated greater neuroticism. So it turns out that the weighted average neuroticism that the adolescents reported was about 11, which indicates that most of the adolescents reported maybe moderate to low levels of neuroticism, which I guess is a good thing. Reliability of this index was also fairly high. Now, extroversion characteristics are associated with enthusiasm towards life circumstances, being outgoing, versus being introverted and encountering one's own life circumstances. Now, 3 items in add health are used to create an index of extroversion. I feel close to people at school. I feel like I'm a part of this school. Now, each of these items was also scored on a 5-point scale from 1 strongly disagree to 5 strongly agree. So the index of extroversion was actually the sum of these 3 items with a range from 3 to 15. And higher values indicated greater extroversion. So we see that the weighted mean or the average extroversion reported by the adolescents was also 11, but it's on a scale from 3 to 15, which means that most of the adolescents had moderate to high levels of extroversion, right? And that's sort of what we want. We want these adolescents to be a little bit more outgoing and be more extroverted. Perhaps they'll use CAM later when they're adults. The third was conscientiousness. And characteristics of this are related to being reliable, responsible, and having self-control versus being maybe impulsive, things like that. Now, 4 items in add health were related. I'm not going to read them all here, but it has to do with problem solving, finding solutions to problems, analyzing what went wrong or right. And these were also scored in the same 5-point range. The weighted average was about 15. And on a scale from 4 to 20, this is fairly high. So we see that our adolescents reported being fairly conscientious. So we're hoping that maybe there's some connection between their conscientiousness and their use of CAM in young adulthood. Now, our dependent variable is CAM use, and we based our CAM categories according to the 2007 National Health Interview Survey CAM component, and we used a total of 15 CAM therapies that were actually represented in Add Health. So our categories of CAM, as you can see, are alternative and medical systems that include acupuncture, homeopathy, traditional healers, for example, like a shaman or a curandero. Biologically based therapies, including folk medicine, vitamin therapy, herbs, and diets, and that would be things like the Atkins diet. Manipulative and body-based therapies like chiropractics and massage, and then mind-body treatments like biofeedback, hypnosis, energy healing, and guided imagery. Now, self-support group actually wasn't included as one of the mind-body therapies from NHIS, but we had to fit it into a group, and we felt that perhaps the mind-body was the closest fit. We also created a dependent variable based on any CAM use in the past 12 months. So anyone who reported using any of the 15 CAM categories were coded as using CAM, while those who reported using none of them were none. So here's a table of the demographic variables used in this study. And these percentages are based on weighted data from the third wave of Add Health. And we see that the mean age was about 21 years old. Roughly 3/4 of the sample was non-Hispanic white, 23% was uninsured. Nearly half of the sample reported a household income below $20,000, and a very small percent were born outside of the U.S. So prevalence estimates of any CAM use and type of CAM use among young adults was examined using univariate and bivariate analysis. Logistic regression of sociodemographics on personality and any CAM use and the top 5 CAM therapies used among young adults was also performed. Naturally, we weighted everything to account for the complex sampling design of Add Health, and we did all of our analysis using Stata, which was super fun. So the first table shows the frequencies and the weighted percents of young adult any CAM use, as well as alternative medical therapies and biologically based therapies. So we see that approximately 30% of the young adult population reported using any CAM therapy in the past 12 months. Now, the yellow arrows also show the highest frequency of CAM therapy among the other two categories, which would be vitamin therapy and the use of herbs. And I'll further look at these groups when I do the logistic regression. Table 2 shows the frequencies and weighted percents of young adult CAM use within the categories of manipulative body-based therapies and mind-body therapies. So we see that therapies like chiropractics and massage are among the most frequently used therapies, as well as relaxation techniques, with percents reaching upwards of 10 and 7%. And these groups with the yellow arrows that you see, I'll be talking about now. So this third table shows weighted logistic regression of adolescent personality on any CAM use, chiropractics, and massage. So those are our columns, any CAM, chiropractics, and massage. Health insurance and nativity status, actually I excluded from the table because they were not significant, but they were in the models. So we see from the table under the any CAM use column, which is outlined with a yellow box, that both conscientiousness and neuroticism in adolescence were significantly associated with any CAM use in young adulthood. Though the association is actually fairly small, it does indicate that adolescents who report being more conscientious or more neurotic had slightly higher odds of using CAM than those who were less conscientious or neurotic. Now, females had higher odds of using any CAM therapy than males, and specifically higher odds of using chiropractics and massage. Hispanics and non-Hispanic others had lower odds than non-Hispanic whites, and those who had a higher education had higher odds of using any CAM as well as massage compared to those with less education. The fourth table shows weighted logistic regression of adolescent personality on the remaining top five. So that would be relaxation, herbs, and vitamin therapy. And we see from the odds ratios in this yellow box here, the horizontal one, that conscientiousness and neuroticism at adolescence were significantly associated with relaxation techniques and vitamin therapy in young adulthood. Again, it is a small association, but it does indicate that adolescents who report being more conscientious or more neurotic had slightly higher odds of using these types of CAM therapies. There was also a small association found for those who reported being more extroverted in adolescence and the use of vitamin therapy in young adulthood. Surprisingly, though, there was not a significant difference between males and females in the use of these CAM therapies. However, we do see findings that Hispanics had significantly lower odds of using herbs than non-Hispanic whites. And similar to any CAM use, those who have a higher education had higher odds of using relaxation, herbs, and vitamin therapy than those with fewer years of education. In summary, using waves 1 and 3 of Ad Health, we examined profiles of CAM use among young adults and whether personality in adolescence affects CAM use in young adulthood. Prevalence of any CAM use among young adults was less than 30%. And this is actually slightly less than the average that was reported at the time, which is 2002. And percents of young adults' use of herbs, relaxation techniques, and chiropractics were also less than the national percentage at the time. There were substantial gender and racial differences in prevalence of use that existed, and this was mainly between Hispanics and non-Hispanic whites. Now, this was true for any CAM use, as well as massage and vitamin therapy. And the reasons for this are unknown. We can hypothesize that it could be due to cultural differences in understanding alternative medicine therapies or access to therapies. Last, personality in adolescence was mildly associated with CAM use in young adulthood. So, as I showed you earlier, conscientiousness and neuroticism were significantly associated with any CAM use and relaxation and vitamin therapy, but extroversion, which we had initially thought would be, being more extroverted, was not very much at all. Overall, findings suggest that personality in adolescence plays a modest role in the use of CAM use in young adulthood, and health insurance was not significant either. So perhaps maybe education, as we saw, especially for young adults, is a stronger predictor of CAM use in young adulthood at this time. The strengths of our study include that we did use a nationally representative data set with Ad Health. The sample of young adults also provides a new perspective on looking at CAM use, as well as looking at personality at a younger age and how that's related to CAM use at older ages. limitations of the study do include the fact that because I was looking at personality at one time and Camus at another time, it's really hard to make certain causal inferences. It's also possible that there are other factors that contribute to Camus in young adulthood. For example, parental Camus, which we don't talk about in the study. And we do recognize, obviously, that personality can change over time, and that was something that we couldn't really discuss at this in this study. To conclude, our study investigated profiles of Camus among young adults and whether personality in adolescence affected Camus in young adulthood. And we see that personality characteristics in adolescents like neuroticism, extroversion, and conscientiousness really play a very modest role in Camus therapies in young adulthood. Also, racial, ethnic, and gender differences in young adulthood exist for use of CAM. Implications for future research are that these findings expand on the current literature of CAM use, but we also add in this young adult component, and hopefully this might enhance education towards a younger generation and maybe encouraging CAM use in the future. So some acknowledgments regarding an NIH K award, and of course, AdHealth graciously for allowing us to use their data. Thank you.